It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum.
In a city with never-ending bar options, Dell's Bar in downtown La Crosse sticks out. It's been open since 1933, and on any given day, you'll find 40-year regulars, college students, and tourists chatting with each other around an oval-shaped bar. One Sunday afternoon, with the Brewers game and jukebox blaring, two bartenders tell me what Dell's is famous for: Oktoberfest, camaraderie, and Bloody Marys.
One thing about the Bloodies is that I enjoy making Bloodies. I also enjoy Bloody statistics.
Break it down.
The one year, though, was 12,736 Bloody Marys.
I love how you know these numbers.
Sarah Viner, I've worked here for 20 years. I started working because I was working construction, and we started to get laid off, and I found bartending on the off season. I started bartending, and I liked it. I liked the socialness aspect of it.
Thank you. Look, I get you, ladies.
Can I just have a regular Bloody Mary?
You too.
I love Dell's because, for one, it's kind of like a small community where it's got a lot of character, and everyone here's a family. My name is Bree Ruppel. I worked at Dell's Bar for about 7 years, on and off. A lot of people who aren't in the industry think that it's always about the drinks. And really, when I come into it, I'm thinking, like, how can I craft this experience for the customer to be the best experience they've had? Because they come here, yeah, they come here to drink after work, but, you know, they want to have a good time. They want good stories. They want good music and... otherwise, they can just drink at home. Oh, I love this song. I want to play this.
That's one thing I love about being here, and the music and how good it feels when we bartend together and make the freaking customers just get into it and just, you know, dance, sing.
The most insulting things that anyone has said to me as a bartender is, well, so what's your real job? How is this not a real job?
It is a real job.
Paid great money. I love what I do. I don't wake up dreading to go to work.
Nope.
Never have. You may get the bar occasional burnout, but everybody does. That's normal. I love working Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest is crazy anywhere you go in La Crosse that whole weekend.
It's fun, it's fast, it's loud.
The thing is that we have such a tight-knit crew here. I always likened it to going to battle. You know, we're downstairs, like, eating food beforehand. People are listening to music to, like, amp themselves up for the shift, getting ready, and then it's kind of like you're thrown into it. It's nonstop. And then by the end, when we're, like, using a snow shovel to scoop up garbage and cups and everyone has left, we all, like, kind of embrace each other. And it's like, oh, my God, we did it. You know, another year in the books. And that was always one of my favorite parts. You know, yeah, it's busy, but, oh, it's so worth it. It's so fun.
I made a lot of good friends through here through the years. Besties.
Yeah.
Including Bree.
You know, we hit it off right off the bat. But then just throughout the years of working the same shifts together, you know, without speaking, without deciding the rules, we just came into this symbiotic dance that we have behind the bar. We know exactly when to move to get out of each other's way. I know by looking at your face what you need, and I can grab it for you. Some people finish each other's sentences, and we'll finish each other's drinks, you know, as we're making them.
That story was part of WPR's project, High Tolerance. It's a deep dive into Wisconsin's relationship with alcohol. To hear all the stories, go to WPR.org/alcohol. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
One more time, that's WPR.org/alcohol. You can find all of the stories about the good and bad and the in-between as we examine Wisconsin's complex connection to alcohol in this ongoing series, High Tolerance. Perhaps Wisconsin's most famous alcoholic beverage, and the one we're most known for, is beer. As this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend continues, we take a look ahead to summer and those special foamy brews that we enjoy during the few months of the year when the air isn't filled with the humming of mosquitoes and the woods are full of deer ticks. Summer doesn't officially begin until June 21st, but, well, why not get a head start on all the beers this season has to offer? From Goza to Hefeweizen, we learn which beers to seek out, where to find them, and how best to enjoy them as the weather warms. But we want to know what your favorite summertime beer is. What is it? How do you like to enjoy beer in the summer? Where do you go? And what breweries are you looking to visit this year? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Tell us your summertime beer stories. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Robin Shepherd is a regional beer writer and senior contributor to the Isthmus. He's written books about beer travels and searching for the perfect pint. He's also an associate professor in the Department of Life Sciences Communication at UW-Madison and a specialist for University of Wisconsin Extension. Robin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
So what makes for a good summer beer? Is there some official definition, some sort of criteria that needs to be met?
Well, the sun is shining. That's usually a good first step.
Well, the sun shines in January.
That's true.
We're going to have to be more specific.
Well, you know, it's kind of the go-to beer when you think about, you know, drinking alongside a lake, a river, maybe in your backyard, on the patio, watching a baseball game. It's the one that you pull out of the cooler when you're picnicking. You know, summer beers, when we think about them, the trend in what you're looking for on a hot day, a warm day, something that's usually a little lighter, maybe a little lower in alcohol, something that's almost a thirst-quenching type of beverage fits the definition of a great summer beer.
And why do we associate different types of beer with different seasons? And why is summer associated with lighter beers?
Well, it's part of the glorious time to be a beer aficionado is that you have such a great selection of beers in front of you today with the craft beer movement. So if you think about summertime, you're looking, you're reaching for something that's a little lighter, that's a little bit more refreshing. You don't really look for something that's with a lot amount of alcohol because, you know, who wants to, you know, drink a big, bold 8% beer on a sunny day? You just want to crave a nap at that point. Whereas in the winter, you might be looking for a little bit of that warmth. And so we like those richer, sweeter beers in the wintertime with a little bit of an alcoholic warmth to them. And in the springtime, we're kind of coming out of those winter doldrums and we're kind of craving a difference in flavor. So it's a spring just like it is with the growing season. It's a transition time for a lot of beer drinkers. So they're beginning to move from those heavier beers to the lighter beers of summer. So you see interest in things like wonderful Belgian French farmhouse ales, saisons, with their unique yeasty characteristics of spicy and pepperness that still have kind of like one foot in the heavy beer flavor category, but yet this lighter, more effervescent bubbliness that we look for in the summer. And by the time summer is over, you're ready to start looking for the bigger beers of winter, but you're not quite ready to give in to those big, bold, rich, sweet things. So fall is a time for color. The browns, the nut browns, those wonderful beers that have, you know, more gentler malty flavor, even some additions of apples and pumpkins kind of get mixed in the fall because of the harvest season.
Robin Shepherd is a regional beer writer and senior contributor to the Isthmus. He's written books about beer travels and searching for the perfect pint. What's the pinnacle? What's at the very apex of summer beer? Is it Hefeweizen or Goza?
Well, for my taste, I love a good Hefeweizen this time of year. The Hefeweizen is a traditional German wheat beer. About half of its grist or its malt base comes from wheat itself. You know, they date back as one of the oldest styles of beer, but they look cloudy. They are golden and yellow. They are hazy in color because of the wheat and the yeast that's in suspension. And while they look heavy, they're actually quite light and refreshing and bubbly. So really good ones, when you find one, you'll get these wonderful essence of clove and banana, sometimes even a little bit of bubble gum. I'm really excited right now in the southern part of the state. Full Mile Brewery in Sun Prairie is a brewery that just opened up last December, and they have introduced their traditional Bavarian-style Hefeweizen. It's a beer that you can only find there, unfortunately. They don't distribute, but it's on tap right now, and it really fits that wonderful image of drinking one of these great, crisped Hefeweizens in a German beer garden. You see other styles that sort of fit in there. The Belgian Wit is something that's sort of very close. It's a kind of a cousin of the Hefeweizen, only it sort of grew up in the monasteries of Belgium. It's a little on the lighter side. It might be more of a straw color, but it's still often hazy or cloudy. Alcohol on all of these beers, like the Hefeweizen, is usually in that 4 to 6%. Belgian Wits might be a little bit lighter. Both of these beers are wonderful for summertime picnic fare. You envision this of, being on a blanket with some, a little bit of cold fried chicken or a summer lunch sandwich kind of thing. They just
and
are
ants.
Wonderful.
You have to have ants for a picnic.
Yeah, right. There's actually a beer called Picnic Ants, believe it or not.
Of course there is. There's a beer that's called Pretty Much Everything. In fact, I'm sure that's actually a label. It says Pretty Much Everything or Better Than Nothing. Our Wisconsin Weekend conversation about beer continues in a moment with Robin Shepherd, a regional beer writer and senior contributor to the Isthmus. He's written books about beer travels and searching for the perfect pint. And when we come back, we'll talk about where we could go maybe to for a special brewery experience in Wisconsin. And we want to hear your stories as well at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. On this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend, we want to know about your favorite summertime beer. Yeah, I know, summer doesn't officially start until June 21st, but why not get a head start on all the beers this season has to offer, from Goza to Hefeweizen? We're finding out which beers to seek out, where to find them, and how best to enjoy them as the weather warms. So what is your favorite summertime beer, and where do you like to go to enjoy it? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have a caller on from Whitewater. Let's go to Tim first. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, I really have gotten into it. I like the Agosas. I try to keep it in Wisconsin, but there's a nice, really cool brewery over in Newell, Minnesota called Shell. And it's a really neat tour if anybody's over in the Mankato area. It's an old brewery, and it's nothing new and fancy, but they've got a really neat tour and buildings to do it at, and they've got a Goza that's really good. They've also got a brew called Nor'easter, which was a mistake, I guess. That's kind of a dark light beer, and maybe your guest there knows more about that. But like I said, I try to keep it in Wisconsin, but I will admit I go over in the Viking land for those sometimes.
Tim, thanks a lot for that. New Ulm, of course, I think they've got two breweries over there. Shell is one of them, but lots of good beer in the upper Midwest. What about the salt component and so forth in Goza?
Well, Goza, John, is a very old style of beer that sort of dates back to the eastern side of Germany. Goslar in Leipzig is kind of credited with developing that beer, and the water that they used had a lot of salts in it. So what modern brewers, it's kind of one of those historical styles, really, that has kind of cropped back up on the radar screen. It was pretty obscure until maybe the last 2, 3, 4 years, and the craft beer movement finally kind of picked it up and resurrected it. It probably is a beer that most folks are not acquainted with at all. It does have a little bit of saltiness. When craft beer makers make it, they want it to be sour with a little bit of that salt underneath those flavors. It's commonly a very light beer, probably 4 to 5%. There's a brewery that made one in southern Wisconsin recently, Delta Beer Lab, that made it with coriander and sea salt, and then it also added in some orange juice and grenadine syrup. And then what they did to finish that off is that they fermented it in what are called squarrels. They're square aluminum barrels with oak slats, and the oak slats had been soaked in tequila. So add all of this up, and you get a Tequila Sunrise Goza. The beer name was There Goza the Sun.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, we knew bad puns were going to come into this at some point. Let's. Michelle is with us in Mequon. Next, Michelle, thanks for joining us on the morning show.
You're welcome, and I'm calling just to say that I tried a new beer last summer in the heat of the summer, and it's called. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, Schopenhofer or Schaeferhofer, and it is a grapefruit beer.
Ooh, grapefruit! Well, a lot of summer beers have citrus notes in them, Robin. But what about Schaeferhofer?
Well, the grapefruit infusion into beer is really a wonderful trend right now. We're seeing sort of the Radler craze, which is what she's describing. The Radlers and Shandies. You've probably heard of Liney's Summer Shandy. And right now, though, I think there's a lot of interest in those infused beers that are part soda, fruit soda, and part beer. So, for example, Wisconsin Brewing Company, which distributes statewide, they just jumped into this game in a big way. They are releasing three different Radlers this summer. The base beer behind it all is a gluten-free, light-bodied Helles Lager. It's a gluten-free beer. So it's all kind of got some light things going on. And then what they're doing is they're mixing that with different types of fruit soda. They're releasing three this summer that are just hitting shelves statewide right now. A cherry lime version, a raspberry lemon version, and a grapefruit version. And these are beers where the soda component is probably more than half compared to the beer. So it's kind of a 60-40 ratio. But the result are these incredibly bubbly, effervescent, very light on the beer side, more of an effervescent, crisp, dry, fruit-flavored soda forward. So you can really see how something like that would appeal on those really hot, warm days. They really are almost like soda water refreshing.
Michelle, thanks so much for your call. 800-642-1234. I think we could sneak a few more calls in before we're done. Robin, what are some of the new breweries that are opening up in Wisconsin this summer that you're excited about? Let's start in Bayfield.
Wow, Bayfield has a lot of stuff going on. Bayfield will have the Adventure Club Brewing that I believe is scheduled to open in a week from now on the 25th of May. It's founded by Matt Gertz, who's a former brewer in Madison at the One Barrel Brewery. He left his position there late last fall and pretty much packed up all his belongings and dedicated everything from the ground up of that little brewery that's going to be in Bayfield. There are other ones that are opening, too, actually in the next few weeks. They're all trying to kind of gear up for the holiday weekend. One Barrel Brewing is opening its new Egg Harbor location up in Door County. The soft opening is actually going on right now. Its grand opening is scheduled for May 23rd through the 27th. Beaver Dam is returning to the brewing craze. They're opening Ooga Brewing, and I believe they brewed their first batch of beer on Wednesday of this week. They're having an open house tomorrow, May 18th. So all of that's sort of coming in line. Madison continues to be growing. Union Corners Brewery on the northeast side should be open within the next week to 10 days. Over in Milwaukee, we're watching, hoping that Dead Bird Brewing will be kicking off a grand opening sometime this summer. It's founded by a couple of young guys that did contract making their beer for about 4 years. I think they started in 2015. They've got a place now that they're going to try to open up this year in Milwaukee. Zambaldi Beer in Alawes is going to open this summer. And Hillsboro Brewing is another one to watch over in Hillsboro. It's been around for a while, but it recently moved to an old historic building or a building with historic character, I guess I should say. They moved over last summer, but they're about to open up their tap room full steam ahead with a kitchen. And that'll be another reason to visit the Driftless area.
Let's take a call from Chris in Adams. Chris, we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do this real fast. I'm allergic to grains, and he was just talking about a gluten-free beer, and I'm always leery when people put that label on things because my body says, uh-uh. So how can you make a beer that is gluten-free when barley has gluten in it and you have to use a malt?
Great question. What brewers are doing is they're substituting something like sorghum or millet or spelt, something that doesn't have that quality. There are a couple of great breweries. What I mentioned, like Wisconsin Brewing, is now just kind of getting into the gluten-free game with their Radlers. Alt Brew is a small brewery in Madison. That's all they do are gluten-free beers. The wife of the brewery owner has celiac disease, so they are very conscious about it. You know, it's great to inquire when you're interested in a beer. If they are serious about making gluten-free, they will describe the process to you, and they will describe what they're substituting the barley with.
We've got about a minute left here. Robin, you recently wrote about a growing list of Wisconsin communities that are using craft brewing to attract interest in their town and create a sense of community among residents. What towns are trying to do this, and can we find some good summer beer there?
Oh, yeah. This is where a small Wisconsin town has really seen the brewery almost as an anchor tenant to the revitalization effort. So there's oftentimes a historic building involved or pulling back something from their history to be half beer part of the draw to that community, like a former brewery. So downtowns like Wanakee have a wonderful brewery there called the Lone Girl Brewing that truly is sort of the anchor to that downtown's revitalization. Uga Brewing that I mentioned that's opening in the next week or so, it is actually part of a revitalization effort to draw people back into the downtown. Hillsboro was an example of a town that really had seen better days, and that's breathed new life. There's probably no better poster child for a brewery that's really revived a downtown other than Potosi, down on the far southwestern part of the state, a brewery that closed in 72. Local townspeople saw the potential. They raised their own money, over $3 million, to match with other things, and restored that brewery. Now, it's also a brewery in the National Brewery on a Museum.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Robin. Robin Shepherd, a regional beer writer and senior contributor to the Isthmus. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show.